Thanks for joining us today on CC and Doc Talk, where we talk about everything under the sun. You never know quite what you're going to get, but you'll always be entertained. Hello, and welcome to CC and Doc Talk, where today we are going to continue our series on Courageous Money, Your Adventure Through Money National Park. It so happens to be a book that Amy and I wrote a couple of years ago, and it really talks about the relationship that we have with money. And so today we're going to delve into a little bit of the money messages that come up for us and how they shape all of the things that we do in our lives before we get into Money National Park.
Absolutely. Because, you know, when you think about it, money touches everything. Everything's driven by money. Our emotions are affected by money. Our values are rooted in money. And money impacts our values. Money impacts our emotions.
Our family lives are impacted by money. Our medical lives are impacted by money.
Right, yeah. I mean, the root of all evil is in money and greed. You know, at least I've heard that before. But anyway, you know, if you want to know how money's in, or how relationships are, just add the layer of money and you'll kind of see how the relationships, you know, unfold.
Or like when somebody in a household makes more than another person in a household.
Yeah, all of a sudden, or, you know,
balance of power.
Relationship with siblings, and all of a sudden there's inheritance. Let's see how money impacts the relationships.
Or when one person in a household knows all of the information about the money and handles all of the finances, but the other person has no clue what's happening.
Right. That is not a good scenario.
No,
in fact,
absolutely
if I could say that there's a purpose to this entire book and this entire series, it's to avoid and get people out of that exact scenario, because really it comes down to a fear. The person who doesn't have the awareness and understanding is they're afraid of, or don't think they have the knowledge, skill, and ability to venture into that space, or they've been kept from it because it's a controlling situation. And so no matter what way you look at that situation, it's not good.
Right.
And it usually doesn't end well.
Well, right? And interesting that you brought that up, because one of our friends recently, her husband had a stroke. And then she got into a car accident, and all of a sudden it sort of brought some of this to the forefront. And she said that, you know, it actually was a good thing, because they recognized that they need to do some planning for, you know, the tragedies in life, or the possibilities of something happening to one of them. And I shared something with her about we have what we call a croak book, which is what we encourage other people to have. It sounds terrible. We lovingly call it the croak book, but I shared that because, you know, when I got diagnosed, I mean, we kind of had a mental croak book, but we didn't have all
down.
Of our bases covered. You know, we had a will, we had those kind of things, but we didn't have all our bases covered. And so I shared this concept with her, and she said that her husband handles most of the finances. So, you know, there are pieces of their world where she's in the dark, even though she's a very savvy businesswoman.
Well, absolutely.
You know, it doesn't, relationships sometimes,
it has
partnerships,
nothing to do with education or
no.
ability. It absolutely, I mean, there are people who are, I know somebody who's actually in the finance world, and because they're in the finance world, they let the spouse at home take care of all their finances because they don't want to be involved because they're exhausted by it. And they're very smart in that area,
right.
But they're like, what am I doing? You know, and they had no idea what was going on.
Right. And so,
so
it's just these kind of scenarios come up every single day.
Right.
And that's, you know, one of the
And what's in our croak book, ours is not very long, but it does list what's where and who to contact to access or get to, you know, whether it's a life insurance policy or a savings account or a 401k or an investment account, just something. What do we have for checkings? What do we have for savings? What are we, where are they?
And passwords.
And passwords,
things
at
like
least,
that.
You know, or where to go to get passwords.
Well,
I mean, just so that.
And when you were in the corporate world, it was, you know, who to contact in human resources, because you worked in such a large corporation. I would have had no idea, you know, if something happened to you,
who the hell do
I talk to?
Yeah, who's the contact person for
the main
point of contact for our accounts?
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So it's just, you know, it was one or two pages, and what do you have where? So that if something happens to one of you or both of you, that, you know, people aren't scrambling when they're in probably a time of grief, you know, it's the wrong time for that. So
exactly. It's
just making it easier. And so, you know, really the whole purpose, you know, again, we just talked about how money is tied to all of our emotions and to our values. And so we want you to be aware of how money sparks your emotions and your behaviors. And we want you to be harmonious with these emotions and behaviors, right? And so you know that you're doing it and you have peace of mind around it as opposed to fear around it. So if like you, you know, if you let me take charge of the investments, it's not that you're not in the know of where they are and what's there or how to access it,
right?
But you have peace of mind and you're harmonious with that decision because, you know, if I'm doing it, then you know what's happening, or I keep you informed or get your approval first or whatever. We have conversations around these
Well,
things.
And as long as we have a strong trust relationship, which doesn't always
That's
exist
true.
Either, right?
That's true. Yeah. So, you know, taking a look at how your routines are linked with your relationship with money, whether you're avoiding things or leaning into things or controlling things or sharing things or have that level of trust there, but really to take a look at, you know, all your routines. Now, how do we go through this Money National Park? And I do want to talk about last time we said there are three things money can't buy, and that self-esteem, self-worth, and self-confidence. And, you know, so just a moment on those. And then we're going to talk about your movie. So,
and your money movie,
your money movie. And maybe it's best to talk about the money movie up front. And then we'll talk about the three things money can't buy. You know, the money movie is all about scenes and clips of when and how you learned the value of money along your life. And again, all the stops in Money National Park are going to have story sparks, which are like conversation starters for you to think about the scene that comes up regarding specifically that question. You're like, you know, what did you do with the first paycheck, or what was your first job where you had your own money to spend? But we'll get into some of those at the stops.
Or what's your earliest memory of money?
What's your earliest memory
of, or yeah. earliest memory of learning the value of money?
Yep. Or what did you see happen in the household that was related to money? So we're going to get into getting you to think about them. So it's interesting. I know that Don Miguel Ruiz in the book, The Four Agreements, he even talks about how we behave with movie clips and how we have movies and scenes in our head. And how he explains it is, you know, you go into a movie theater and there's all these different options of, you know, the movies for you to walk into. And you decide to go in one with that has your name on it. And there's only one person sitting in the theater, and you sit down and you start watching the movie, and you realize that you recognize all the characters in the movie. These are your brothers and your sisters and your parents and your friends and your colleagues and your aunts and your uncles and whoever it is. And the person that's sitting watching this movie is you. And you realize that you're watching you and how you are portrayed and you, how you want to be seen in these various scenes that you're watching in the movie. So you decide to leave that movie theater and you go into the next one, and you realize that the person watching the movie is your mother. And the scene up there is she's the main character, and you recognize the various characters in the movie, but now you see yourself in the movie, but it's her version of you in that movie, and you may not even recognize because
so the
now,
scenery is similar, but
the scenery is the
but
same.
The movie is different.
It's a totally different movie because all of a sudden she's now portraying how she, or she's now only seeing in her movie how she wants to be portrayed
from
and how she thinks she's being portrayed by others from her perspective, and how she sees you, and how, and you're thinking back to your movie going, well, that's not how I was portraying myself in my movie. Or, you know, the scene was totally different regarding the whole scenario. And you could do the same, right? You could go into the next movie theater and it's your loved one, and you see now how they are portraying themselves and how they see you. And all of them are so different again. And then you take the exact same scene and you put the layer or the filter of money on top of that. And what was the underlying message or the fear or the emotion or the value that where money was related in that scene? They're not even the same, right? And so what we're going to do is encourage you to have your clips, your movie clips, but with a complete understanding of that other people in your world may not have and probably don't have the same perception
right?
of that scene, that exact same scene as you do. And so your job there when people are sharing and you share the stories around these scenes is for you to be open, to listen, to be curious, and to learn from it, because you will learn that there's a totally different perspective.
Which is why the whole point of this book was to tell stories about money and to share those stories so that you could hear all the different sides of the same story, because this really does bring home the point that, you know, there are three or more sides to every story, right? Yours, theirs, and somewhere in between.
Right. And then somebody else's perception of it.
Exactly.
Totally different. So really, to come back and cycle around, when I say there's three things money can't buy: self-esteem, self-confidence, and
self-worth.
And, you know, self-confidence is the measure of your own abilities, you know, your knowledge, skills, and abilities, and how you perceive how well you do in those areas. And self-esteem focuses on your self, sense of self. And, you know, what do you think? What do you feel? How do you believe about yourself? These are your self beliefs. And then self-worth is knowing your value. And that's, you know, are you lovable? And, you know, what's necessary in your world? And all those I am statements, the affirmations, you know, so this is who I am, and I believe I am worthy. Mm-hmm. And to build these three skills really takes, you know, whether it's self-affirmations for the self-esteem part, or whether it's with self-confidence, it's being put in situations where you're challenged by something and having the knowledge, skill, and ability to get out of it. And as opposed to somebody just jumping in and saving you,
right,
and to build that. And so, you know, again, we're focused on the whole being financially savvy or fiscally fit, right, is for you to have that self-confidence in the area and surrounding finances.
And to be able to be self-sufficient and independent if you need to be. You
know, yes.
Like some people choose to be right off the bat, but in other situations, right, you know, a major life event could occur, and then you would have to be. If, even if you haven't chosen to be prior to that, you might have to be self-sufficient. And so all of these things lend themselves to you being more self-sufficient, confident, and independent with money.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we talk about money messages. These are our core beliefs around money that we have adopted. But the thing is, you can change them. And knowing that you have the power to change these and bring in a different belief, that's where the power comes in for yourself.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes people, you know, may not relate to money. And by the way, I have to say here, according to the U.S. Census, 80% of married women will outlive their husbands. And that's a lot of women outliving men.
It is.
And so, you know, if you have a self-belief of, you know, the money message of the man takes care of the money, I don't have to, I don't want to, you know, I know enough to get by, my kids will take care of me, I don't do math, I'm more of the wine expert, not the finance expert, you know, you know, any of these self-limiting beliefs that you have that you're going to have to reevaluate, and you may have to then say, okay, which are serving me and which are not, and you have the power to then change that.
Well, and again, part of the point is to be able to go back and examine, where did these beliefs come from to start with? So let's say, for instance, that somebody has the belief that money is the root of all evil. Well, that's often something that might have come from an upbringing in a very religious household, for instance. And is that really your true core belief, or is it a belief that was sort of projected upon you and then you sort of adopted because you didn't really have any other frame of reference for that? And so now what we try to do in Courageous Money is to be able to give you the opportunity to examine that and decide, yes, that's absolutely valid, I'd like to keep that belief, or no, that's a self-limiting belief for me, and I'd like to either revise it or replace it with a new one.
Absolutely. And again, like you said, you have the power to do that.
Right.
And it just takes courage. That's why it's called
Courageous money.
Isn't that wonderful how it just cycles back to that?
As if we hadn't thought of that before.
Right. You know, another resource that I want to bring in is Melinda Gates has a book, The Power of Lift. And in that, she stated, if you want to lift a society up, you need to stop keeping women down. And you and I changed that comment about, if you want to rise yourself up, you need to stop holding yourself down.
Right.
And so this is really
because it's
you,
not just women.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not. And this is about giving you permission to raise yourself up in these areas and recognize the skills and knowledge that you do have.
Right.
Because you, I mean, it doesn't matter what level you're at. We all have some ability in these areas.
Right.
So, all right. So we're going to get into Money National Park. And we're actually going to get into the first stop today. And the first stop is Money Mindset Mine. And this is all about the what you are born with, whether it's your temperament and
your personality, your communication style, things that are somewhat ingrained in you from the time that you're born
and then how that kind of puts a filter over to how you perceive things.
Right.
But there is one thing that we haven't done yet, and how Money National Park works is, first of all, you have to pay an entrance fee.
Yes.
And so everybody's going to have to pay the entrance fee. And the entrance fee is you have to come up with what three words come to mind when you think about money.
So feel free to pause the podcast here if you'd like and just write those three words down.
What three words come to mind when you think about money? And there you have it. Okay. And so then thank you for paying the entrance fee. Even if you had the access pass, you had to show your pass to get in.
So. Welcome to Money National Park.
Welcome to Money National Park. And so what this is going to look like is we're going to give you a story spark, which is a conversation starter. And then, we'll read through a bunch of questions. You will then decide which questions relate to you the most, which ones you're thinking about, where did the movie scene pop into your mind? And then once you kind of have that scene in your head to go, you know, is there a money message here? Take a moment and evaluate it that is serving me, or is there a money message that is not serving me that I need to change?
And during this time, it's appropriate to stop the podcast as often as you'd like during this and take any notes that you need. In fact, it might be a great time to grab a notebook, because one of the things that we will also encourage is that once we have done this with you, that you then take this same exercise to maybe the family dinner table or to your next conversation with a best friend.
Or while you're driving in a car, whoever you're in the car with. Absolutely.
Yeah, because it's all about sharing stories. And so we're going to give you the means to share those stories. And then we're going to ask you to not only share your story with others, but to get them to share theirs with you.
Yeah. All right. So let's describe the scene. What is the money mindset mind? What are the four different mindsets? And where do they come from? So they are the four mindsets that we might have are saver, spender, investor, and the giver.
So saver, spender, investor, and giver. And I'm sure everybody can get a picture in their mind of what those people look like, right? Saver, spender, investor, and giver.
Yeah. So, you know, the saver is really the one that, you know, has some values around security or loyalty, credentials, family, justice, you know, those types of things. So they're saving. Mm-hmm. The traits is, you know, they're good organizers. They like to make the rules. They take charge of the situation. They like to, you know, I'm saving this for that. So it's very purposeful. In terms of, you know, sometimes they can be responsible, very direct, in control, structured, time focused, you know, fair. So, you know, those are some of the kind of the traits that might come to mind when you think of a saver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, do you want to then some of the traits for the spender?
The spenders are the entrepreneurial folks. They're kind of non-conforming. They definitely know how to take risks, sometimes calculated, sometimes not. They tend to be influential inventors. They have lots of great ideas. They generally value freedom quite a bit. And, you know, they tend to make things happen. You know, they're the folks that start franchises, right? They don't just become a franchise. You know, they don't buy into a franchise. Yeah, they actually start the franchise. So they're very visionary. They definitely see the future. And sometimes if they're under stress, they can lack a little bit of empathy, or, you know, they might even exaggerate in order to influence you or to get you to invest in whatever their idea is, because they don't mind spending your money either. In fact, they sometimes rather spend yours than their own. but they are definitely fun folks and definitely very invigorating. They definitely get the conversation moving.
Right. And they spend money to do the experience around it. Yeah. Yeah.
And they operate from their gut.
And then
there's that investor, and they are definitely more the analytical, logical thinkers. They like to process information. Data is very important. They tend to be researchers, very intelligent. They can be very sarcastic or yeah. just completely, you know, unemotional in their delivery of things. And then, you know, they have they really value not only their intellect, but other people's intellect. They value history and retrospection. You know, what was this trend and how does this trend impact, you know, the next trend, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, they definitely can provide, what's nice about them is they can provide multiple different approaches or scenarios for problem solving. And they tend to work well independently if necessary. Research, they believe, is the key to good investments. Now, under extreme stress, they might get stuck in an analysis paralysis mode because there's never enough data to make a decision. They may talk down to people, especially if they're frustrated by something or God forbid, right. if you're not understanding them, they yeah. may talk down to you. And they may also just be in their head just a little too much.
No, that wouldn't happen. Yeah.
So curiosity question, you know, would you put yourself in the box of saver, spender, giver, or investor?
Yep. So we haven't explained the traits of a giver yet.
Oh, well, there you go. All right. Your turn.
Oh, all right. Well, givers can be very caring, thoughtful, empathetic, generous, accepting, spiritual, kind of compassionate individuals. They're really good at giving, obviously, giver, right? So philanthropy, they have a lot of grace and gratitude and family and sacrifice. You know, they have really good intuition. They like to bring people together. They have big hearts. They do things from the heart. They do things with a purpose. And sometimes, you know, under extreme stress, they may do things out of guilt or get overwhelmed. You know, they might require some validation. They could even be a little bit more passive aggressive. So yeah. I want to cycle back. We didn't talk about the savers. The first one, when they're under extreme stress, you know, those savers that really like to make sure that they're tucking it away for security in the future and the family or the whatever later, you know, under extreme stress, they can be a little over controlling in that area, opinionated, and they just don't want to hear it. So they're not necessarily the best listeners. So.
Sure. And as you're kind of deciding, you know, what bucket would you put yourself in? I just want to share a couple of things, which is that, you know, your money mindset is tied both to your temperament as well as your values. And, you know, your temperament is kind of the personality traits you were born with. Your values, though, are sometimes changeable. Some of them are inherent and some of them are learned and some you might have adopted over time. But all of these things shape your money mindset. And then recognize that you may gravitate toward more than one money mindset. So you may be able to relate to the spender and the saver, you know, and so you don't have to just choose one bucket. Some people might be able to relate even to all four. And that your mindset, it's really kind of an integral driver of your behaviors, and it will influence your communication style as it relates to money. So take a moment and just figure out, like, where do you see yourself in this scenario? Are you the saver, the spender, investor?
List off all four. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Saver, spender, investor, and giver.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely the, I'm the spender and the investor.
Yeah. I was going to say saver, but I think you're more investor than saver. So yeah, spender, investor.
When I spend, I spend big, but then I don't like to do the nickel dime spending.
Yeah. You don't spend little amounts. Like, you're really cheap when it comes to
super
small,
cheap with the small amounts.
Dollar amounts, but you're incredibly extravagant sometimes when it comes to the bigger amounts.
Because
good thing that you
invested to make that happen.
Yeah,
right?
Well, it's a
right?
good thing that you have the balance of investor to make up for the outflow.
Yeah. How about you?
I am. You know, I think I'm a little bit of both too. I think I'm. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Well, okay. So typical. If you tuned into one of our earliest podcasts on Real Colors, you will know that I am the comedian in the Real Colors and the comedian. I'm the comedian in the Real Colors. Oh my God. I'm the chameleon. So I'm all four colors equally. And I would say that I sort of relate to the money mindsets the same way. I can see the spender in me, the saver in me, the investor in me, and the giver in me. And maybe that does make me a comedian as well as a chameleon.
I do see all four in you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Depending on the day. Sorry.
I'm like, you're spending how much on who? You're that giver side of you, because I don't have that giver quite as high. And I'm like, oh, okay.
You're very generous, but like, I like to do the gift giving thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Which then ties into the five love languages, which is a different podcast.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. All right. Let's move on. Mm-hmm. All right. So some story sparks in this area for you to think about. Which money mindset most resonates with you? So what's your mindset? The saver, spender, investor, giver. And, you know, how do your money habits reflect this mindset? And so to be able to answer the question as a blank saver, spender, investor, giver, I enjoy doing what? Or I don't enjoy doing what? Mm-hmm. And so the story that best describes me being, you know, saver, spender, investor, or giver, or any combination of them. So what is the story that best describes
you being a saver, spender, investor, or giver?
Yeah.
Or the combination of?
And that's the movie scene that appears in your mind, because now we should all have movie scenes popping up of, you know, when we were that saver, spender, investor, and giver.
Exactly.
And so,
exactly. Yeah. And then also, your money mindset is your belief regarding what money is for, its purpose, whether it's saving, spending, investing, and giving. So how is this true for you? And then if you're traveling with others, so let's say you're going to take a trip with others, or if you're taking a trip with others, let's say you're in the car right now or on a road trip. In fact, if you're on a road trip listening to this podcast, just pause the podcast for a second and have each person share what they think their money mindset is, and then discuss how are you different or the same in your thinking? What values do you share? Where do you find common ground in making decisions? And how can you see each other's traits as an asset? So I'll read those again. You're going to share how you're different or the same in your thinking, what values you share, where you find your common ground in making decisions, and then how can you see each other's traits as an asset?
Sounds like a great conversation to me. We should stop and do that ourselves. Yeah. All right. So after you do this,
I think we
go
did
through
when we
it individually and collectively with people to then be able to take a look at, okay, what is serving you and what is not? And is there anything that needs to change? Is there a self-limiting belief in there? Were you expected to be one, but really at your core, you're not? You know, do you really think that you are an investor? You just don't have the knowledge and skill. And so there are so many ways for you to be able to get that and start small and start with the basics, but lean into that. And being an investor is a really cool thing. And it does, you know, you start small, start somewhere, be willing to take risks and learn it and step into that space.
Right. And then this is where we really identify those money messages, and the money messages can be summarized as your lessons learned, your key insights having to do with money, your relationship with money, or how money has influenced your thoughts and behaviors in regard to this money mindset.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this gives you the opportunity to affirm that money message. So, you know, we're going to ask you, you know, to figure out what is your money message here as an investor, a saver, a spender, or a giver? What's your inherent money message? Do you like it? Do you want to keep it? Or do you want to revise it? And by the way, you can't just cast these things aside because they're so ingrained in you. You can't just say, oh, I'm just not going to abide by that anymore.
It's about being more aware of it. So you're consciously, and then again, trying to be harmonious with these, you know, be in harmony.
Exactly. So know that you either need to embrace it or replace it or revise it. You can't just cast it aside and ignore it.
Right. All right. Yeah. Well, I think that's enough for today, and that's a good wrap. And at the next podcast, we're going to stop at the next stop in Money National Park, which is Fountain of Youth. And Fountain of Youth is all going to be the money messages that you learned growing up from your parents, relatives, and influential people, you know, whoever is part of your circle of friends, whether it was a zip code that you grew up in. And so it's all about money messages you learned when you were young as a youth.
Thank you for joining us today on CC and Doc Talk and for this series on Courageous Money. We like to say we're changing the way we talk about money one story at a time. So in between this podcast and the next one, be sure to share your money stories.
Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in to CC and Doc Talk. We'd love for you to follow us on social media at CC and Doc. That's CCNDOC. And you can visit our website at ccanddoc.com.
We also take monthly donations to support this broadcast, if you're so inclined. We'd love to hear your comments, suggestions, and questions, and we'll do our best to respond. Thanks, and have a fantabulous day.